From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler.
The Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh on a Friday. The weekend is almost upon us. One more day of work.
Well, you sound exciting, Steve.
Yeah, sure.
You came on just now, man.
Well, it's Friday. I think a lot of people.
Friday.
Look, I'll be honest about something, right, to start off.
There are
a lot of people that aren't as fortunate as us. From the aspect of people that just don't like their jobs, hate their jobs, don't want to go to work, would rather do something else for a living, and so forth. Now, we're blessed. I mean, I think I can speak for everybody. Maybe I shouldn't. But I think I can speak for Joe and Dan Plucker and Gary and Leroy that we all love doing what we do.
Like, yeah, you can speak for me. That's
yeah, we don't get up in the morning hating to come talk about sports on the radio.
I wish we made more money. I ain't gonna lie about that.
Yeah, but everybody wishes they made more money. But I'm just saying,
we still got to put it out there.
We don't dread our jobs or anything like that. And I know there are people for certain that don't like going to work in the morning or don't like doing what they do. Not everybody is blessed to be able to do what they want to do, I guess, and get paid for it. So that's why when I come on the air and I get all excited about it being Friday and being the weekends, I know there are a lot of people that are like, thank God I'm done having to do this for the week. I can go and out and relax and grill up some meat on the grill this weekend.
And golf.
In Joe's case, he's going golfing tomorrow morning.
Too cold, cuz.
There are a lot of golf courses opening, though. I mean, to be honest, Joe was going over the list of them. There are a ton. Now, how busy they will be, I don't know how busy they will be around the state, but there
will. I can't go unless we have a golf cart. I already talked to Joe about it. Joe's going, I think, this weekend somewhere.
Tomorrow morning.
It ain't going to be about 30 degrees wherever he's going.
He's going
to golf in.
But you can't tailgate in 30 degrees.
Joe, where are you going?
I'm golfing at Spring Valley.
Spring Valley in Salem, Wisconsin is where he's golfing.
Yeah, Joe.
He's never been there before, but he's been told it's a hidden gem. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. All right, so.
Well, you know, I want to say this real quick, though, about our job, since you talk about our job.
Yeah.
You're right. What I found out, though, in this job, though, Steve, what can get to you in this job is other people that you work with.
That's every job.
No, they don't, because we're in this close proximity in this small box. Well, now we're not, but for the most part, we're in this small box together, and sometimes things can get heated.
Oh, yeah, that's what makes the job fun. I don't know, I think.
Okay, I let it go from there.
The conflict is fun sometimes. I don't mind
the
conflict.
No, it ain't good for me, Steve.
Well, conflict? Not that I'm George Karl of the Bucks, you know, back in the day, who loved Ray Allen and Glenn and everybody going at it in practice and then, you know, playing the maestro in the media like George. You know, it doesn't bother me. So coming up on today's show, Tim Allen, co-host of the Rami and Tim Show and host of the Baseball Postgame Show on The Fan in Milwaukee, always talking Brewers baseball with us every Friday. So we'll join and have him on in about a half hour. Tim Dillard, a former Brewers pitcher, former Milwaukee Milkmen pitcher. He just recently retired earlier this week. And it was a special time when we had Tim Dillard on last time on this very show. So we'll revisit that. Talk to Tim Dillard coming up to start off the next hour. Ken Barkley, Radio.com sports betting expert from BetQL.com. Coach, if you better, you bet. Coming up in the second hour, we'll see how confident he is in this Badgers team taking on Iowa tonight. And speaking of college basketball, Jerry Palm. Really, if we start talking about bracketologists, Jerry Palm is kind of like the original, right? Wouldn't you say Jerry Palm's kind of like the original bracketologist? Like, I mean, Lenardi is great, but Lenardi's come after Jerry Palm. So Jerry Palm, CBS Sports bracketologist, to start off the third hour of the show. We'll start off today talking about a great piece, a very well-done piece, like always. He always writes great pieces. Pete Doherty, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com as well, goes over the fact that, look, this Packers team, once they get under the cap and so forth and make some changes, are going to be in a very good position to be able to spend some money in free agency. Now, again, you can go after a bigger name or you can go after some other names on kind of like, you know, smaller contracts, one-year prove-it deals and so forth. And he goes over kind of position by position as far as for the Packers, you know, guys that are out there that may make some sense. So as we go through these names, if anything, anybody's name pops out at you and you want to get in on it, as far as talking about that player, whether you want him, dislike him, or whatever, you can always do that. The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. As I've said before, and I'll say again, if you don't have that already saved in your phone, you should. It's the easiest way to do it. Or some of you may have it memorized already. 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. I'm actually going to Van Horn Jeep Ram in Manitowoc after the show today. Looking forward to seeing those guys. And they all have these like lift kits on their Jeeps and stuff for off-roading. So, yeah, I'm anxious to see that. I'm guessing all the Jeeps will be much taller than me because of it. Okay, so some of the names on the list. Defensive line. Jarrell Casey, cut by Denver last week in a cap savings move. Casey was, of course, not too long ago, as Doherty writes, one of the game's best defensive tackles, 45 and a half sacks from 2013 to 19 with Tennessee, but he's 31 and coming off a serious injury, a torn biceps, that sidelined him for all of but three games last season. If his injury and a glut of players on the market keeps his price down, he's worth a hard look. I'm here to tell you, Leroy Butler, I love me some Jarrell Casey. I loved watching him play in Tennessee. That dude is an absolute beast. You put him next to Kenny Clark, that could be a lot of fun. Or Kenny Clark next to him, however you want to line it up.
Yeah, that's one of the plug-and-play guys you're saying go for it on the fast track. So I would list him under that.
So you're in on Jarrell Casey. What about the torn bicep? That doesn't bother you a year later,
I had a torn bicep. I don't even think I missed a game. It's not really an issue for the most part. I mean, if you look at J.J. Watt having that like knee brace thing on his arm for his whole career, it seemed like he'll have something similar. I think Kenny Clark has something on his arm. You need to always protect the arm. But when you see a defensive lineman where you're pushing a lot, the tricep, if that would be a bigger issue, but bicep, yes. With the technology nowadays, oh, yeah, he's good.
I'm kind of old, but do I remember correctly, didn't Gilbert Brown play through a torn biceps one season?
Yeah, absolutely. He's pretty
Yeah, he did. Lot. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I remember that.
And a meniscus. You know that meniscus, that little the knee, cushy thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played with that.
Yeah.
I think Reggie had one too, did he, Leroy?
Yep, as well as
And then he prayed on it
tear.
Or whatever?
No, that was the hamstring tear. Okay. It was a color of a crayon box. It was all yellow. And
why wouldn't Reggie pray on every injury, though?
He does.
He did.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It just the media just grabbed that.
Got
and
it.
Ran with it.
Yeah.
He said, God healed me.
Other defensive linemen that could be available at lower prices. The Giants, Delvin Tomlinson at 27 years old. Chicago's Roy Robertson-Harris at 27, Baltimore's Derek Wolfe at 31, and Denver's Shelby Harris at 29. Any of those names stand out to you, Gary? Derek Wolfe at one point was a pretty productive player for Baltimore.
Yeah, Steve, I think when you look at the – listen, and everybody talked about this, and they're going to be – a lot of guys available. There's a lot of teams trying to get underneath the salary cap. So then they're going to purge all these players, and maybe there's some of these players they bring back. It's going to be like that for everybody. And I think it's going to be very exciting when you start seeing people, when these teams start signing players. Yeah, and I think the Green Bay Packers are going to need another defensive lineman. They're in this, to me, Steve, the Packers are a lot like how they are in the secondary is that I think they're going to need a veteran player and they're going to need a younger player. In the secondary, they're going to need a veteran player. They're going to need a younger player. So the Wolf kid, yeah, I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on him. But it's to me, you know, all this is going to be about price, right? How much is you going to
right.
be to
and
pay
that's
this
a,
guy?
That's the premise of Pete Doherty's article. Some of these guys that he lists are guys that depending on the market, you could get on a cheaper deal. Wolf last year for the Ravens, one sack, 32 assisted tackles, 51 combined tackles. The previous year, 2019, where he spent the rest of his career, was the Denver Broncos, who took him in 2012. He had seven sacks in 2019. The year before that, a sack and a half with a pick. The year before that, two sacks. The year before that, five and a half. The year before that, five and a half.
Does he talk about the defensive schemes that he played in, Steve? Because it's going to be about fit as well. Although, Leroy, you know what we didn't talk about? In Arizona, don't they run a 3-4?
Yes.
They're pretty much interchangeable in Arizona.
He's going to play with his hand in the dirt, which is what he would have done in Green Bay. Yes.
Who, JJ?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be hurt. He's going to be hurt.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be hurt, but that's how he's going to have to play. Yeah.
He don't have to, dude. He can just say, man, I'll come in on passing downs and play outside with my hand in the dirt. But if I don't want a guy outside next to me, because they're the double team. They're going to double team and drive him. He was the number one double team guy, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's going to be double team again and get hurt. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, but they're gambling on Chandler Jones being another guy that's been double teamed a ton in his career as well. I mean, him and J.J.
He was hurt, too.
Yes, correct. He's another one that can't stay healthy. Yes, both of them have that same issue.
So I would say, Steve, and not to get off track, I just popped in my mind. That happens sometimes. I would say it will be about the fit, right? What defense are they playing in?
No doubt. And again, coming from Baltimore, you know they play the 3-4. So he's coming from that system. And now you look at some of the other positions that Pete Doherty has in this article. We'll continue to talk about it. But the next position he has listed here is cornerback. And obviously there's some name recognition at the cornerback position. So we'll get into that coming up next. It's the Wendy's Big Show. But first, Joe Zanzola. Are you in the market to buy a new car yet? Are you getting close to that? How long have you had that vehicle of yours you've had here?
I've had my Sonata for the last couple of years now.
Yeah, it's been a while you've had that Sonata.
I love that car.
Yeah.
It's my favorite car.
I know you've had it for a while.
It really is. And guys, you know, my Sonata is a couple of years old now. For you guys, though, you can get a brand new car at Hyundai West Dallas. Brand spanking new. And get a load of this. Hyundai West Dallas, they will beat any price on any Hyundai that you look at in the area. So, if you decide to go to some other Hyundai dealership, guess what? And this can include a few different things here. You got the 2021 Hyundai Santa Fe, or the Sonata, or a Tucson. No matter where you go to any other Hyundai dealer, guess what? My boys will beat the price. So this is hands down for the entire month of March. So if you've got a price that you got from another Hyundai dealership, just go see my good friend Dan Richards at Hyundai West Dallas. Tell him what that deal was, and he will tell you, I will beat that, and it's guaranteed. During the spring upgrade sales event, get 0% for 60 months plus no payments for 90 days on the brand new 2021 Hyundai Kona, Santa Fe, Sonata, Venue, and Tucson. Guys, it's free money. And we are huge fans of the service department over at Hyundai West Dallas. We have been very happy, Gary and I, when we've gone in and gotten our cars there. They will take great care of you. They took great care of us. That's what it's all about at Hyundai West Dallas. Get Hyundai Assurance with America's Best Warranty as well. 10-year, 100,000 miles at Hyundai West Dallas on Highway 100. Or just go to HyundaiWestDallas.com where you can shop for your car online as well. A part of the International Autos Group where our ordinary needs to be extraordinary.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network. Now, back to the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler, on the Big Show Radio Network.
Thanks next great flavor from Wendy's is here right now. The new jalapeno popper chicken sandwich and salad. All the jalapeno popper flavor you love with Wendy's famous spicy chicken. Hurry into Wendy's and try the new jalapeno popper chicken sandwich and salad today at participating U.S. Wendy's. Make sure to take advantage of that today. All right, so let's talk about more of this article from Pete Doherty, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com. He did a great job of going through kind of positions that the Packers may be looking at and guys that, you know, may be able to get for a cheaper deal. Now, these two guys here that he brings up for the DBs, I'm not quite as convinced they're going to go for a cheaper deal. But maybe because of age, they will. One of which is Patrick Peterson, who turns 31 in July, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals. The other, Richard Sherman, who turns 33 later this month. I don't know whether or not you can get these guys on a short-term incentive-laden deal or not. As Pete Doherty says, you might be able to because of their age. Gary, either one of those guys, if you can get them on a short-term incentive-heavy deal, work for you.
Well, I know Patrick Peterson's name came up yesterday where we were discussing some of this stuff. But I think, for me, it's got to be about Richard Sherman, if you can make that work. I mean, that's the guy that I would love to have. I mean, a veteran corner that you got to have.
Okay, now the other part of this, Leroy, is a guy that's familiar with what Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, wants to do. And the Rams' nickel corner, or one of their guys, is Troy Hill, who is 30 years old. He's a guy that's also out there right now. If I was a betting man, that's where I'd put my money at this point. For him to go get that guy to come in and play that position that he's looking for, a guy that knows his scheme, he's familiar with how good he is, knows who he matches up well for or against. And going to Gary's point, if you believe you need a vet and a rookie, you can have that vet that you don't have to worry about, you know, blowing assignments and not knowing where to be, and then still have time to draft that rookie and develop him at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on all three of those fully. And my investment will go into Malcolm Butler and stay with the development of Channing Sullivan. I like him in the slot. He's been with this. They're going to run the same system that they ran last year and the year before. That's why they kept the staff. I mean, he may throw in some wrinkles here or there, but they're going to run the same thing. So he's not going to bring the whole entire Rams playbook. I'd be shocked. I mean, if he brought the whole entire playbook over and tried to implement that with these guys. So they got to, at some point, the investment. When you talk about grown men like that, though, to make a quick point, they've already made tons of money. So at this point, both of those guys, Richard Sherman's different because he's platinum. I mean, the guy's a Hall of Famer. Peterson hasn't been able to play in big games like that. So most of these guys have made max money for years and years and years. At this point, it'll be a good fit. What's a good system and somewhere that you have an opportunity to win a championship.
All right. Some of the other names that get brought up here, Justin Coleman, who was a slot corner for the Lions, a report out yesterday that he very well could be released to save $4.9 million on the cap. He turns 28 later this month. The Lions had signed him as a free agent from Seattle 2 years ago for an average of $9 million a year. Other guys that are cheaper, according to Pete Doherty, include the Jets' Brian Poole, who's 28, Cleveland's Kevin Johnson, 29, San Francisco's Jason Verrett, who turns 30 in June, Tennessee's Desmond King, who is 26, and Seattle's Quentin Dunbar, who is 29 in July. Any of those names a better fit for you, Leroy?
Not really, no.
So you're not interested in signing a corner, then?
I told you who I wanted. I already told you.
Malcolm Butler. But
just because he's not in Pete's article don't mean that I ain't moving.
No, but
that.
The reason he's not in but wait, Leroy, the reason he's not in Pete's article is Pete's putting down names of guys that he thinks might have a chance to get for a cheaper prove it type deal that you're not gonna have to spend a ton of money on. Clearly, I think we're all of the understand that you're probably going to have to spend a pretty dollar in order to get Malcolm Butler. Yeah.
And Joe just talked about this. If you want the best, you don't mind paying for it. trying to win a Super Bowl. That's a position that why go cheap in the next 2 years?
Well, LaRoy, don't
try
you
to
think,
win it all.
But LaRoy, don't you think Richard Sherman would work there though?
No. After what I saw, Devontae, because I don't think his coverage skills. I think they've eroded. The fact that they're going to cover guys outside by himself. I mean, Devontae Adams put a nice little. Well, he put a move on everybody, so maybe that's unfair.
Thank you.
But
he's not what he was, no doubt about it. But none of these guys are what they were.
Well, that's probably why Pete's talking about him. I'm talking about a guy who you can win with in the next 2 years. I don't want to, yeah. So we disagree.
What was Malcolm Butler's contract, Steve, last year?
He had a nice one.
Yeah, they signed him from Indianapolis, remember. So.
Right. So what did he make? I'm just – because he's going to fall down a little bit. I'm just trying to see if he's jumping from $16 million to $8 million. That's a lot to chop it in half like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Malcolm Butler's numbers that he was at here, he had signed a five-year, $61.2 million deal in 2018 with an average salary of about $12.2 million. Had a total guaranteed money of $30 million on that deal. And now, obviously, he is done
with
the Tennessee
Titans.
So now
he's got to renegotiate with somebody else. Somebody else got to negotiate another offer with them?
No, now he's
totally
a free agent.
Free.
He can sign anywhere he wants.
Right. So I'm saying he's got to get another contract from someone else. What kind of money do you think he'd be looking for?
Oh, I think he'd be looking for a deal that averages between $9 and $11 million on a three-year deal.
Oh, yeah.
And for a starting corner
that don't need help,
yeah, that's worth
it. I don't know if they can afford that.
But that might be the only guy they get then. But again, this goes back to
what
we're talking about
yesterday.
If you get Malcolm Butler, but now you can't keep Aaron Jones, is it really worth getting Malcolm Butler?
Absolutely.
True.
I'm not getting rid of one to save another. I'm getting rid of what I need. And if Kevin King is gone, you have – nobody, because I'm not moving Tannen and selling. He's my inside guy. That's why I don't want any.
And he's a restricted free agent as well.
Yeah, I can tender him and match whatever comes his way.
Yep, absolutely you can. LaRoy, I know something else that you really, really like, and that is those new friends you made over at New Mail.
Yeah, the big three, guys. I'm really, really excited. I'm excited because I keep getting these calls from guys saying they made these calls, and I really feel like I'm helping people. I'm also helping a couple groups actively trying to work on getting the vaccine to the African-American on the north side of Milwaukee because there seemed to be some discrepancies there. But when you go to your doctor, it's private. It's between you and the doctor. We got the HIPAA laws and everything. And I think for the most part, men don't like to say they're deficiencies on national radio. I'm okay with it because I think that's a good thing your therapist says. If you're honest with yourself, you could be honest with your family and your doctor, the one doc that can save your life. When you talk about ED, it's private. When you talk about low T, it's private. When you talk about weight loss, everybody don't want to just say your weight or even get on a scale in front of people. It can be embarrassing. But in front of Dr. Tim at the Newmill Medical Center, it's like being at home. You can let your hair down, it's just a saying, and just talk freely. Doc, help me feel like I felt when I was 30 years old, because I'm having some problems concentrating. So what you got to do, though, you got to call this phone number, 414-441-1771. That's 414-441-1771. When you call this number, tell them LaRoy Butler sent you, and they have a nice gift for you.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
Is standing by, and that person, of course, is the franchise, Tim Allen. I don't know what that is. Tim, of course, co-host of the
Robbie
and Tim Show.
Man, I ain't got time to be
LaRoy Butler playing. Are you playing the kazoo over there?
No, it's Gary.
Kazoo.
It's Gary.
Oh, that's Gary. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you know it's me, Leroy? I mean, Steve.
Well, because Leroy just
know you're weird.
Leroy was talking, and then you were still doing it. Also, host of the baseball.
Good job, Steve.
Host of the baseball postgame show on 1250 The Fan in Milwaukee as well. He is the franchise Tim Allen. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Allen Rants. Okay, Tim, so let's get into some Brewers baseball talk. Any concern about Keston Hira being awful to this point offensively?
Wow.
Oh,
yeah,
my God. Jeez.
There should be a
Steve.
Little concern, but he's learning. I mean, this is not an easy position. A lot of people think that first base is this. Well, you just go over to the bag and reach out and catch a baseball. Nah, it's more than that. We have him a little time on this.
Hey, we really do.
Hey. Bronny didn't work out
great. Hey, I'm not talking about his defense, man. I'm talking about him hitting under 100 at this point.
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine?
This kid
working on stuff.
Has one of the best barrel-to-ball skills in baseball, and you'll see it get better and better. Mm-hmm. We need to remember how many games this kid has played in the big leagues.
Okay.
Not many. Not many at all.
Listen to me. He's my favorite player on the team. So, trust me, I'm all about Keston Hira, and I'm all about him maybe winning a batting title at some point. But this man did not play well last year, and I was looking to see, okay, that's a blip. He'll be fine. Here we go. And here we are in spring, not so much. Now, at the same point, Avi Garcia loses 35, 36 pounds, and he looks like a completely different player offensively this year compared to last Tim.
He does, and that's a great sign. But again, 150 games, 180 games in the big leagues for Keston Hira, you know, guys, Leroy, Gary, can you teach this man about a little baseball patience?
Patience, Steve? Patience, Steve, is that same sentence? Are you kidding me?
I mean, I heard you guys.
It's a wonder he ain't killed Logan yet.
Logan's bigger than him.
Your cooking skills, Leroy, has, Jordan Love simmering
right.
back there. The same thing with Keston Hira. Just let him go. He leads the nation in hitting the year they drafted him out of college. He's a hitter. He's going to be just fine. And sometimes it takes a little time. He'll be ready to go when the gun sounds.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. And this is funny that we're talking because I learned this from Steve. Because I think I first got this saying from Steve. Well, Gary, you know they're working on stuff doing spring's training. I mean, because I used to be the guy, man, these guys, what are they doing? They're pitching. These guys are getting rocked. Steve goes, dude, they're working on all the pitches that they need to try to have during the season. So they're trying to add or delete what they want or what they may not want. And I think that's what, to me, I found out that's really what spring training is all about. Where guys are just tuning up. They're working on stuff. Stance, starts. I mean, all this kind of stuff. I just don't take much from spring training, Steve.
Yeah, you're right, Gary, in that. Let's take a look at what are we at here? What's the day today here? Mid-March 11th, 12th?
And opening day is
12th. Yeah, April 1st.
Yeah, April 1st. So let's look at it in another 10 days or so. Now you'll see these guys starting to go to their A game, or at least that's the philosophy there, that hey, we're going to try what has been my bread and butter. We're going to really fine tune if it's Josh Hader and a fastball and a slider, and forget about, or at least lay off the changeup, then that's what they're going to do at that time. So right now, Josh Lindblom working on a little spin rate. The strikeouts are there. So it is funny, though, Stevie. I get your point where there's always the built-in, I'm working on things. But the reality is they kind of are.
Sure, and I'll get that that for a pitcher like Josh Hader, right?
Okay.
He's working. He gives up a couple of home runs, and after the game, it's he's throwing his off-speed stuff, and he's working on stuff. And Hader says, when you fall behind, then you got to throw a fastball, and they're fine with it, and I'm fine with that too. No problem. I got no problem with that with Hader and pitchers, right? So you want to work on your curveball or your changeup? That's fine. Hitting's hitting, dude. For me, that's a little bit different for me. Like, again, not a professional baseball player. I don't know exactly when you're in the box, what are you working on hitting-wise that would make you look this bad for this long? that when the season starts, you're going to go away from doing completely and go back to doing something that works. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I know with Hader, it's not going to be a steady stream of what he's throwing right now when he gets into a regular season game situation, or with a starting pitcher that's working on developing a new off-speed pitch or whatever. I understand that. I don't understand what exactly happens with a hitter and what he could possibly be, quote, working on that's going to change when we get into the regular season.
Well, part of their game is to work on the scouting also, Stevie, is that let's say the Brewers face the Cubs and it's Hendricks on the hill in a spring game. Well, Hendricks is working on a little something, a third or fourth pitch. How are you going to scout that? You know what I mean? As a hitter. Yeah, so you got to give him a little pass. That how are you going to scout if you're the opposition facing Josh Hader? Normally, you're going to get this rising fastball and then look out for the slider. Well, all of a sudden, now you're supposed to go in there and you're Chris Bryant and you're facing Josh Hader. You know you're not going to see a bunch of change-ups. So what do? Do you focus on the change-ups? So scouting is part of that. It goes the other way, too. It does kind of put the hitters off kilter a little bit.
Yeah, Tim, I really enjoyed yesterday, you and Rami, which I think is an amazing show. You guys were negotiating live on the air about Woodruff contract, and it was just so refreshing to hear how it was like two guys just not overpowering each other with money or years and things of that nature. Give me a little bit of what y'all were talking about.
We're talking about Brandon Woodruff, and maybe you guys can shed some light on this. I know Sparky and I, for years and years and years, we've always wondered, a GM in any sport, does it get to that frank and candid of a situation, either with an agent or with another team? Does it really? I guess it would have to, I think, or is this all, no, you got to submit the request form. Here's our offer form, and then you stand by the fax machine in the olden days. Well, what's he going to do with this offer form? Now I got to, by league rule, I have to submit this form. Is it like that? I mean, at some point you have to have this frank conversation, don't you? Like if you're going to negotiate with an agent.
No question about it, especially if it's a Scott Boras, one of those type of agents, or with an agent that we really don't know, but he has, first you meet with your player. Like my agent would meet with me, and he wouldn't really pull out what other guys in my position make. He would look at the value of the team, the overall, that he's a pitching ace. Mm-hmm. What does most aces make? Now, in other markets, those aces make big money. So somewhere between that, the Brewers got to understand that you got to pay him like an ace, but in this particular market. And then your agent, the last thing he looks at you before he leaves the door, what you willing to take?
Yep. And so what it came down to is we were negotiating a Brandon Woodruff contract, which would keep him here, but would give him a raise in his arbitration years, which it's sort of controlled. But see, the trade-off to buy, this is exactly what they did with Freddie Peralta, and they just extended it past the arbitration years. He got a raise for those arbitration years, but the payoff is we get to buy a year or two of your free agent years, and you have to kind of meet in the middle. So that's kind of what we were going through. And it's funny, I was on the side that I didn't want to pay Brandon Woodruff, but I was also on the side that says he's going to be an elite pitcher in baseball.
Exactly.
So it was kind of both ways, and it is kind of a little cat and mouse game.
While we've been talking, got a press release from the Brewers with some player movement for the Brewers. Catcher Mario Feliciano, outfielder Corey Ray, right-handed pitcher Alec Benninger, who is dealing with an arm issue, and right-handed pitcher Dylan File have been optioned to AAA Nashville. The following players have been reassigned to minor league camp: outfielder Tristan Luntz, outfielder Garrett Mitchell, infielder Bryce Terang, left-handed pitcher Clayton Andrews, right-handed pitcher Jake Cousins, right-handed pitcher Thomas Jenkins, right-handed pitcher Miguel Sanchez, left-handed pitcher Ethan Small, who's looked good, and left-handed pitcher Quinton Torres Costa, also reassigned to minor league camp. Any surprises there at all, Tim Allen?
possibly the Ethan Small. I was just wondering. He's 24 years old, Mississippi State product, a first rounder. Real has a good kinship with Brandon Woodruff, and has, as Stevie said, has been looking really, really good. But that would be about the only surprise. That doesn't mean that they can't use these guys in maybe a Cactus League game, or if there's a split squad or something like that. But it proves right now, Count said, for the most part, they're going to ramp up a little bit earlier this year because of the lack of baseball, you know, not only for the veterans last year with only 60 games, but it's the lack of the minor league games last year. There was, you know, a lot of non-baseball activity going on. So they're going to get Garcia and Yelich and some of these frontline guys front-loaded early in camp. They'll back down right about now or the next 5 days or so. They'll back it down just a little bit. Then they will ramp up and go all the way to opening day on the 1st.
It's also worth noting, Tim, Aaron Ashby is still with the team. He did not get sent down to the minor league camp. And a quote from Craig Counsell here, he says, "You can write what you'd like about that with a smile." Ashby has really stood out so far.
Yeah. And this again, leads into, real quick, guys, it leads into what I think Craig Counsell's got cooking here. And it may not be pioneering. It may be across the league. But with the innings that these guys are going to have to cover this year, and you can't ramp up these innings too much this year, I think you will see a very important part of Counsell's roster here is going to be guys that can go multiple innings in that bullpen. It's not just going to be you pitch the 7th, you pitch the 8th, you pitch the 9th. It's going to be, and there's going to be some tough pulls, and I'm going to be screaming about it on the postgame show. I know I am. Brandon Woodruff or Burns or Hauser, they're going to be cruising a little bit high on the pitch count. It's only 3 2/3 or 4 1/3, and out goes that pitcher. That's an injury thing, and that is a ramp-up thing from the lack of innings last year.
Pencil me in for Ashby being in the rotation in 2022.
Okay, Steve.
And me in for Ashby being in this rotation by the end
there
of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would
call his shot.
Yeah.
There he is.
I would rule that out.
My boy.
Yeah, and Eric
Lauer.
He
did the same thing to Corbin Burns, and then look what happened.
I don't know if Eric Lauer is trying to pitch.
Oh, man.
I don't know if Eric Lauer is trying to pitch with his other arm or what's going on with him, but he might try using his other arm because he's been awful as well.
You need to root for him. You need to root for him.
Well, yeah. But he's awful.
There you go, Gary.
Yeah, brutal. Yeah, and he was one of the guys that came over in that Padres deal with another guy called Urias, who's also awful and can't stay on the field and be available.
Well, it's
a lot of positivity when you come out with me right now.
That trade is not looking good. I'll admit that. Let's hold off though. Let's just wait. Eric Lauer will get his stuff together.
He started to show in a good mood, and I had to level it off.
Well, that's because you brought the Brewers up. All right, that'll do it. I got to go to break. Joe's freaking out. All right, Tim, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Timmy.
Enjoy the rest
you
of your
got it, guys. Yeah, good
toodles.
Talking to you.
Toodles. Right. There goes Tim Allen. Catch him. Hello. Host of the Baseball Postgame Show on 1250 AM The Fan in Milwaukee. Also co-host of the Rami and Tim Show as well on The Fan in Milwaukee weekday afternoons. Coming up next, more positivity. We'll touch briefly on the Badgers against Penn State last night. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network. Now, back to the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler, on the Big Show Radio Network.
Yo, bring it on down.
When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. And guess what? The Bucks won last night, which means you win today at any participating Wisconsin Wendy's. Get yourself a free small chocolate or vanilla frosty. No purchase necessary. This offer is only good for 24 hours after each Bucks win, so act fast. Bucks win last night. You win today at Wendy's. And take advantage of that. Speaking of winning, the Badgers actually won last night, and to be honest with you, I thought it was over, and
I'm like, ah, no big deal. It's over. I go back a little bit later, and all of a sudden, it's a game. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. How did they screw this one up? And they won, though. They held on and won, and I watched the ending of the game, and I had texted Joe Reavers as he fell down and couldn't keep his balance on an inbounds play. And then they go down to the other end, and credit to Reavers. He did a nice job on Sesson, staying in front of him, getting the deflection, and Davidson went flying out of bounds and yelled timeout, and it saved the ball for them with like 0.8 left, and they were able to hold on and win, and that's great. But they blew a huge lead in that game, Gary, and against Penn State, and held on to win. It's hard to get myself excited after seeing how they squandered that lead. I guess there's the, well, be happy they won, Sparky, but at the same time, a little bit frustrated that they almost lost that game.
Well, Steve, you know at some point they had to go into a drought, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what happened. And at the worst time, they went into that drought. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Will it happen against Iowa tonight? We'll get more into that.
Yes, it will happen against Iowa tonight.
Thanks. Yes. Just a ray of positivity, Gary Eller said.
Yes.
Joe, shush. Your device not even on. Just shush. Good God. Coming up next, Tim Dillard, the former Brewers and Milwaukee Milkmen pitcher, recently retired earlier this week. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. He joins us next here on the Wendy's Big Show. Don't turn that dial.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network.